Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. It's a joy to have you with us today. Pastor Ed leads Fellowship Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. In today's message, Ed Young begins a series of talks titled Interview with a Porn Star. We'll hear from a former porn star whose life was wrecked by addiction and depression and to whom Jesus gave a second chance. This program is just a glimpse of what Pastor Ed has to offer. From global missions to his latest inspirational books and daily devotionals, there's something for everyone. You can find all of this and more at edyoung.com. And here's an exclusive offer for our listeners today. Download a free chapter of Pastor Ed and Lisa's newest book, A Path Through Pain, at edyoung.com. With refreshing vulnerability and power, A Path Through Pain shares their family's journey from sorrow and anger to hope and healing after the tragic and sudden loss of their daughter. As they share their incredible perspective, they will inspire and equip you to believe that there is purpose in your pain, even if you can't see that purpose yet. Now, let's get into today's message called Interview with a Porn Star. Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
Joshua, thank you so much for coming by today, man.
Sure. I'm glad to be here.
I just loved seeing some of your stuff on social media and what God has done in your life. Tell me about your childhood growing up in South Carolina and just talk to us about that.
Yeah, so I was born to a single mom. Mm-hmm. So she was 16 when she had me. And the interesting dynamic was, like, my father didn't leave, or they didn't get divorced or anything like that. My mom had me when she was 16.
Okay.
And then I knew who my dad was. And as I got older, there was this tension where I would see him at the gas station, see him at the grocery store. Uh-huh. So I knew that he was my dad, but he never played the role as father in my life. And that went from being something that created curiosity and mm-hmm. confusion to later on anger.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
And then I started to take on this, you know, the insecurities that come with that, the frustrations that come with that, and having a high achiever personality, which is a great thing. But if you compound a high achiever personality with someone who feels truly inadequate, I'm going to believe, well, I got to prove to the world that I'm worth something through achievement. And then momentary high after momentary high, it led me to a pretty dark place.
Now, did you kind of grow up going to church at all, or did you have kind of a semblance of Christ, Bible, et cetera?
Most people assume that, if I have a faith now, I must have always had a faith. And that wasn't the case. So I was definitely going to church when I lived. So I lived with my grandparents. So it was my mom, her brothers, her sister.
Because your mom was so young.
But my grandmother loved the Lord. Mm-hmm. So did my grandfather. So I would go to church on Wednesday nights, you know, Sunday night.
Yeah.
So until I was about 7 and a half, 8 years old, then my mom got married. And that was pretty much after that point, I was disconnected from church the rest of my life.
After high school, and you kind of had this disconnectedness from church, where did you go?
So I went to college at Francis Marion, so in Florence, South Carolina, studying theater there, really with no intent of get a degree. I was like, didn't know what to do. And it's like, well, if I can do something that's going to equip me or benefit what I want to do, then that's great. But the second semester of my sophomore year, I decided to drop out and move to Hollywood because I thought, well, if I put myself in closer proximity to the industry that I want to be in, it would be advantageous for me. So that's what I did. So
you wanted to be like an actor,
model,
et cetera.
Yeah. And then I move out there and I quickly got an agent. So, I mean, everything was going great. And then part of that grind is, you know, you're living in a place that's very expensive. So like most people, you have to get a job to mediate your expenses and, you know, get a job at a restaurant. And while I'm working at this restaurant, these three girls come and they sit down and, you know, I'm going to put on the Southern charm and, you know, get a big tip, maybe get their number.
Right.
And I start talking with them and they're like, hey, have you ever considered acting? And I was like, oh yes, because I thought they were going to, you know, introduce me to someone, because that's how you got the job. You know someone that knows someone, or like you get introduced to a casting agent or something like that. They said, well, you know, we're talking about the porn industry, and it's something that I saw. So I saw porn at the age of 12 was the first time I was exposed to it. And then,
so you mean those girls were in the porn industry themselves?
Yeah, the girls were in the porn industry, and they were inviting me into the porn industry via meeting with their agent. But yeah, they asked me that, and I go and I meet with this agent.
So did you know you were going to meet?
Sure.
Okay, you knew. Okay, so you knew.
Yeah, so I mean, I'd never considered being in the industry.
Yeah.
But it's like, go meet with this guy. And I guess, you know, a lack of a foundation where it's like, this is not, you know, I knew it wasn't good, but it's like, there's nothing within me that was like, that's a hard no.
Yeah. Yeah,
but also like this curiosity, you know, kind of got the best of me. So I go and meet with this guy, and he's like, you know, how'd you grow up? Why are you out in LA, and what do you hope to accomplish? And I was like, well, just pretty much grew up with just me and my mom. And I want to get into acting, and I guess I want to be famous. He's like, perfect. I'll make your name famous. You'll make all this money. And because the industry was shifting from, you know, just these, like you walk into a room and this stuff happens, they were parodying movies. He's like, because you have acting experience and you're a good looking guy, it's like, man, I can make you the guy. Like you'll be the guy, you'll be famous. And I kind of fell for, you know, his manipulation.
Yes.
And I did one film. And after I did that one film, I'm like, okay, that was nothing like I thought it would be. It was gross. I felt like disgusting afterwards. And then I was like, I'll never do that again. And then about a week later, I get a phone call from my mom. She's like, hey, your uncle said that you were doing porno movies. Is that true? And that was one of the most humiliating conversations I've ever had in my life. And just really feel like I let her down.
How many years were you in the industry, and tell me about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important to acknowledge that, you know, in your life, you'll make bad decisions.
Yes.
And then you're faced with a crossroad. Either I can have fortitude and say, okay, I made a mistake, and I'm not going to let that mistake determine what I do next. Or I'm going to do the easier thing and continue making that mistake, or allow that mistake to determine what I do next. I didn't have fortitude. I didn't have any grit. I just had this overwhelming feeling of shame and guilt. And I felt truly in that point where I was like, well, I can't do anything else. So right on time, as my life is somewhat falling apart, this agent calls and is like, hey, I would love to offer you a contract. And I signed the contract, and I stayed in the industry for over 6 years. I did over 1,000 films, won 18 awards, won Performer of the Year, made $1 million, did all this stuff. But along the way, I'm wrestling with this, you know, the high achiever personality, and knowing that, like, this is not what I set out to accomplish. And then over time, there were people in my life that would look me in the eye and say, hey, I love you, but you're better than this. There's so much more in you than what you're doing. Why are you doing this? And then again, you know, that's why accountability is such a beautiful thing. You hear that, and you're faced with a choice. Either I'm going to push you away, or I'm going to listen to what you have to say, and I'm going to change, you know, change routes. So I chose to push everyone away.
You know, so many people, Joshua, as you know here, I'm telling you this, but you know this as well as anyone, but it's such a temptation out there.
Sure.
To state the obvious, porn. And today, it's so readily available.
Yeah.
So here, I'm talking to you, and you were on the other side of the camera. Would that be correct how you say it? Or the other side of the camera.
Yeah.
And you're telling me, because people are, you know, the typical guy's going, oh my gosh, that's the ultimate.
Right.
You know, having relations with all these girls. I mean, in our humanity, it's like, okay.
Pornography is a fictitious representation of intimacy.
That's a fictitious
representation
of intimacy.
Yeah.
That's a great way to say it.
It's just, I mean, it's just true, because you got two people that really don't want to be there, and you are so objectified, and you feel so just like seen that stuff like that becomes monotonous. And when a God intended, you know, experience of true intimacy becomes monotonous to you, gosh, does your heart get dark. Because for me, I could have sex with anyone, anywhere, at any time, 1,000 people in a room without blinking. You look me in the eye and shake my hand, I'm cringing because that's real. And that's how fake that was. And that to, you know, to the reality of that, the byproduct of that, the, you know, what happens next. So I got out of the industry almost 11 years ago.
Okay.
And over that time, 30 people that I knew, every single one of my roommates have either died of overdose or suicide. So and they're faced with this. So that you compromise. And if your behavior is indicative of your identity and you believe this is all that I'm good for, if the phone stops ringing, what am I supposed to do? You've got people around you telling you, well, this is all you're good for. No one's going to want to marry you. You're never going to do this. You're never going to do that. You're never going to be able to do this. The movies are always going to be on the internet. What are you going to do? You might as well keep going. And these are the agents and the producers and the directors, you know, trying to entice you to keep doing things or to further compromise yourself or do whatever, you know, they want you to do so they can, you know, be compensated for it.
You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We're halfway through today's incredible message, and we hope it's been an inspirational part of your day. As we pause for a moment, we want to thank you for joining us and for your continued support. This ministry, focused on sharing the gospel, is possible because of listeners like you. As a token of our gratitude for supporting the Creative Connection, we have a special gift for you. We'd love to send you a complimentary copy of Pastor Ed and Lisa Young's newest book, A Path Through Pain. This is a powerful book they wrote after the sudden death of their oldest daughter, Lee Beth. They share profound truth that even in the darkest moments, pain and joy can coexist. To receive your free copy, visit edyoung.com. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift to help take the hope of Jesus to people around the world. And if today's message has touched your heart, consider supporting us. Your contributions, no matter the size, help us continue spreading God's word and bring hope to many. Visit edyoung.com to learn how you can make a difference. Now, let's continue with today's message. You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
Okay, so you're in the porn industry,
yeah.
But you feel so much shame.
Yeah, because
so much darkness.
Oh, sure. For me, again, having this high achiever personality, I believe, well, if I win this award, yeah, or if I make X amount of dollars, I'll feel good inside. And then with every goal I set, when it didn't work, it escalated the anxiety, it deepened the depression. And then for me, like the performer of the year was like, that's the biggest award you can win as a guy.
And that was 2012, correct?
2012. Okay. And it's like, if you win that, that meant you're the guy.
You're the man.
Like the people in the yeah. industry and the fans and the producers, they
that's
voted
it.
You. Like you're okay. the guy. And I won that award. And when I won that award, it didn't make me feel like I thought it would. And when that happened, I started spiraling out of control to the point where I made a plan to take my life. And for some reason, I thought, well, I got to go deposit this check, because if I deposit this check, you know, the money will go somewhere, like yeah. to my mom or whoever.
Yeah.
So I go and deposit this check, and normally I would go to the ATM or Dropbox because I didn't want to face the music. You know, I didn't want to slide yeah. a check across the counter that had a, you know, on the memo of the check, it said the name of the movie or it said something, you know, ridiculous.
Yeah. Right.
And I go into this bank, and I don't care. You know, at this point, I slide the check across the counter, and she, you know, asked me if I knew my account number. No, slide my card, you mm-hmm. know, blah, blah, blah. And then she looks me in the eye and says, Joshua, are you okay? And what she didn't know is I had pushed everyone out of my life, and all I had heard was the pseudonym that I went by. No one was calling me Joshua. I hadn't heard my name in over a year. And when she said my name, like, gives me chills.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she said my name, yeah. it really shattered this plausible reality that I had created based on shame and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the dangerous thing about a lie. If you believe a lie to be true, it's true to you. So I believed that, you know, that's who I was and that's who I'd always be. And Joshua really didn't have a place in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And she challenged that. And what I felt was the weight of, you know, my mom, who had sacrificed so much for me, and I was withholding from her a simple, I'm okay. I wasn't returning her texts or calls. She had no idea. And then I go home and I call my mom, and very Luke 15, she's like, hey, I love you. You're better than this. I'm just come home. And then the next, we hung up and I called my agent. I quit, you know, did everything I needed to do and just ran. But there was 2 years of me, you know, I covered up my tattoos. I deleted my social media, shaved my head. I tried to do everything I could not to be recognized, but that lasted about 24 hours. It was like, aren't you that guy? Mm-hmm. And that happened for about 2 years where I would just lie until I got found out. And then then the people around me was like, well, this guy, this is who he used to be, but this is what he's doing now. And I was working at a gym. And in that gym, there was this girl. I asked her out on a date. And she said no, uh-huh. And that was pretty humbling.
Yeah.
And she did agree to go on a walk with me, or go for a run.
Yeah.
And we met to go for this run, mm-hmm. And there was just something in me. It's like, don't you lie to that girl. It's almost like I heard my mama's voice. Like, don't you lie to that girl, you know? And so I'm just like, hey, I've done a little bit of porn. She was like, excuse me? I was like, come on, man up. Just tell her the whole truth.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I blacked out for 5 minutes, right, where I was like, I just like, you know, just brain dumped everything that I had been repressing. And then at the end of that, you know, she's pretty taken back. And then she looks at me and kind of plants her feet and says, you know, a person's not defined by the worst thing they've ever done.
Whoa.
And a person's not defined by the greatest thing you'll ever do either.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
What a great word.
Yeah. And then she looked at me and said, God. He's the author of life. He defines who you are. Do you know who God is? And then I was conditioned to put on the mask, right? So I'm on the first date mask. Uh-huh. I don't know who I am, but I'm going to be whoever you want me to be because I just want you to like me.
Yes.
So I'm like, sure, yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, cosmological argument, like whatever you need to know. Yeah, I'll just regurgitate everything I can remember. And then she pushed in a little deeper. And she was like, you know, what church are you attending? You know, where do you do life? Yeah. And it's like, what are you talking about? I was like, if you're talking about that, I don't got that.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you know, I gave my life to Jesus when I was in seventh grade. My family, they're all Christian, and I'm not perfect by any means, but Jesus is the foundation of my life. So what kind of food do you like? I was like, hold on. hold on a second.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that I tell someone the truth for the first time and you don't reject me, but I've been lying to people my whole life and being rejected? That doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And she was bold in her truth, but also kind, like really, like, you know, Colossians 4:6, mm-hmm. like I really, you like really see the graciousness and like that her speech being seasoned with salt, but she knew how she ought to answer me with honesty, but also with grace.
Yeah.
And then she invited me to church and I walk into this church and I'm like, man, I don't have any business here. Yeah. You know, if anyone knew about me, and then I walk in and there's this giant wooden plaque on the wall and it says, we want to love people where they are and encourage them to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And I was like, Jesus sounds pretty good, but I don't know about that. Like if you knew about me, no way. And for me, you know, the little experience I had with church is, you know, it was very legalistic. And I thought, okay, there's a guy's going to get up on the stage, you know, shirt and tie. And he's going to tell me if I got a wrinkle in my shirt or a tattoo on my arm, I'm going to hell, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And this guy in a t-shirt and jeans gets up and he starts talking about how much he loves Jesus and how Jesus transformed his life. Mm-hmm. And then the pastor pivots and he's like, hey, did you realize that we actually are all guilty? Romans 3:23, mm-hmm. we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
So we're all guilty and we're all impending death. There's a bridge that we need to get to a holy and perfect God that we can't build on our own because we are imperfect.
That's right.
But guess what? God in his love and his mercy sent his son into this world, being fully God and fully man, lived a perfect life, never sinning, and died on your behalf. Why? Because you earned it? Because you deserved it? Because you were good enough? No.
Yeah.
Because he loves you that
That's
much.
Right.
And it destroyed the presuppositions I had about who God was. And the Holy Spirit just wrecked me in that moment. And I
so
gave,
that first, that was yeah. it, you gave, okay, so yeah. I'm sorry, so you gave oh, your but, life to Christ.
Yeah,
there.
I gave my life to Christ. There was like plenty of tears and snot, and the Father that I always desired, I realized I always had.
So now when Joshua, were you married? Okay, because I don't mean to steal the...
Yeah, but the thunder, okay, you know, but the girl that I went on that walk with, you know, she's been my wife for 7 years, and we've got 3 sons, and her name is Hope.
And unbelievable.
Yeah. It was really amazing because her commitment to following Jesus, mm-hmm. and it was her faith that was like, hey, we're going to do this together, but what this is going to look like is like, you're going to follow Jesus, and I'm going to follow Jesus, and we're going to follow Jesus together.
Yes.
Like, my faith is not yours, mm-hmm. you know? So, like, really encouraged me into what I was doing, right. but equally passionate about following Jesus. And then you got, you know, very real, like, practical struggles where it's like, okay, I'm dating this, you know, this gorgeous girl, and you're going to tell me, like, okay, we're going to, like, go and, you know, once we get to the point where, you know, I propose to her and all this stuff, it's like, you know, we're taking premarital classes, and it's like we're abstaining from like anything like sexual. And this is crazy.
So here you are, a porn star, former porn star.
Yeah.
Okay. You meet this girl.
Yeah.
Christian girl, and you guys were pure.
Yeah.
Until you were married.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. And it's just, man, it's just anyone that's struggling with sexual sin. Mm-hmm. Man, you can start over today.
You can. And Joshua, talk to me a little bit about that, because so many people who will see this, you know, struggle. I mean, it's one of the major desires that men have, also women as well. But with the young people, we have so many young people in our church, and even the middle-aged people. I mean,
I mean, that's why pornography is so dangerous, because it makes you form this idea of what you think sex ought to be. It's like a marriage. It's like you don't get married so that you can have sex. You know, like Paul has something to say about, you know, these burning desires but like the objective of marriage is not sex. Mm-hmm. It's unity.
Yeah.
You know, it's a reflection of Christ's love for the church.
Yes.
So it's very different than, well, I want to serve myself. And even when it comes to like masturbation and pornography, it's like, am I committed to following Jesus? I'm going to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. Well, Romans 12:1 talks about we're a living sacrifice.
Yes.
We're called to pick up our cross and deny ourselves.
That's right.
So are you committed to allowing your flesh to be your master, or are you committed to following Jesus? Because either you're Lord or He is, and there's no in between. And when we blur those lines and think, well, I need this because I saw that, we become very childish in our ideologies. And I would just say, there's a better way.
Yeah.
There's a better way. Sir. And is it going to take work? Yes. Mm-hmm. Are you going to potentially stumble along the way?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Probably. Mm-hmm. But the reality is this. If John 19:30 is true, if it's finished, if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, then sin no longer has any hold over you. Mm-hmm. I love the way John 8, 33 through 35 talks about that. Like, sin's no longer your master.
Yeah.
So sin's no longer your master. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, you got to be committed to Christ. So that for me, how I destroyed lies that I believed, I clung on to scripture, and I believed that the words of Jesus were true, and He affirmed the Bible. So it's like, man, if 2 Timothy 3:16 is telling me that all scripture is God-breathed and it's good for teaching, rebuking, reproof, well, there needs to be some reproof in all of our lives a daily basis.
Yes.
I need to dismantle and destroy lies that I believe to be true, because like I said earlier, if you believe a lie to be true, it's true to you. And if you think I need to do this, then you will serve your desires. But I have to reject it. You know, I have to, Romans 12:2 talks about that.
Yes.
I'm either being conformed and shaped by the world, or I'm being renewed. You know, my mind's being renewed. I'm going through this metamorphosis. Like, that has to be true. And if I think it's a good idea, it's very different than this is who I'm called to be.
So what we're hearing from you, though, is someone who has been in the dark, literally.
Yeah.
You've lived in a dark world, a world that very few people can live in, and how God has moved you from the darkness to light.
Yeah.
And man, I look forward to part two. It even gets better.
Thank you for being with us today on The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We hope this message has encouraged you and remind you of God's amazing grace. Your support is so important in helping us share the gospel of Jesus with a hurting world. As a token of our gratitude, we're offering you a free copy of A Path Through Pain by Pastor Ed and Lisa Young. Visit edyoung.com to claim your book and learn more about how you can support Ed Young Ministries. Join us next time as Pastor Ed continues the series, Interview with a Porn Star, with a message designed to encourage everyone that transformation is available through the saving power of Jesus. Stay connected with us at edyoung.com for more great content and ways for you to be part of what God is doing through the Creative Connection. Thanks for listening. Until next time, God bless.